This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Seven.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all, do everything they can to save you money. Because customer service means everything to them. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Ben Bolch joins us now from the coast. Hello, how you doing, Ben?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I've been telling people that for UCLA, this is the weekend the Big Ten gets real. Only because their Big Ten games so far have been at home. What's your thought on that, you know, considering this is going to be a long journey?
I think it got very real in the first series against Indiana when they went marched for a touchdown. It didn't matter where they were playing. I mean, we're talking about a team that's gotten flattened in its two home games against Indiana and Oregon. I really don't know what to say for UCLA at this point. You know, they almost lost to Hawaii, and then you're looking at, you know, the very real possibility of a Tyrone Willingham 0-12 type season. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but I really don't see any answers for this UCLA team this week, particularly going into an environment like Penn State, one of the toughest places to play in the country and one of the best teams. So UCLA certainly has its work cut out for itself.
All right. I want to start with Ethan Garbers. And I know he got hurt. I mean, I know he hurt the ankle. I mean, because I watched, when I got home from the Illinois game, I watched the UCLA-Oregon game. And then he got hit on the side of the helmet and then hit the back of his helmet against the turf. I know that they're very guarded about this. So I'm going to assume you don't have much more information other than the fact that he left the game on Saturday night.
Yeah, watching him in practice, he has not practiced the first 3 days of the week. Was not seen at all on Monday, and then yesterday and today he's been on the exercise bike, which obviously is an indication of a player coming back from injury. Now, Sean Foster said that Ethan Garbers told him he intends to play. Sean Foster will give us an update here in a little while. He's scheduled to speak with us in the next few minutes. But, according to him, he's going to play. But reading the body language where he is right now, I would say he's very questionable to play in this game. And if he does not play, that puts the onus on Justin Martin, a redshirt sophomore who has thrown all of 5 passes in his college career. So that would be a big step down in experience and savvy if they have to go that way.
They haven't been able to run the ball. Now, some of these running numbers are figured in from sacks as well. But what has that done to the UCLA offense where people don't even have to respect play action because they can't run it?
Yeah, it makes it very one-dimensional, and it's not even been a good one dimension. I mean, Ethan Garbers has, assume he's healthy. He's had twice as many interceptions, 6, as he's had touchdown passes, 3. So, they haven't really done anything well on offense. I think it's a hodgepodge of issues. They're trying to learn Eric Bieniemy's pro-style scheme. They've struggled there. Offensive line has struggled to block. And the most curious thing to me, 2 players who were good and trending upward last year, Ethan Garbers and running back T.J. Harden, have regressed without a doubt this year. So some big issues across the board for this offense.
All right. Chip Kelly had been there. Chip then left, took the offensive coordinator job at Ohio State. Now, I realize in Southern California, I mean, Chip, you know, they weren't giving him any parades. I've got that part. But what did it do did it set back the program at a time when they're entering a new conference because in some ways had to start over again.
Yeah, I like to say it that Chip did basically did one-third of the job. He coached, but he did not recruit at an acceptable level, did not put in the effort there, and he did not put in any effort to be an ambassador of the program. So I think he absolutely set this program back. You know, they had some couple 8-win seasons, 1-9-win season, but never really contended for a Pac-12 title with him. You know, when he was hired, it was, you know, universally hailed, including myself, thought it was a great move. But, you know, he just did not have the same kind of well-oiled machine down in Westwood that he did at Oregon with the way things were already rolling, and he kind of came into a great situation there. So I do think that he left, you know, not the best situation for Deshaun Foster. However, they did have 8 returning starters on offense, and the offense has been the worst part of the team. So that, to me, speaks to some issues going on with this new coaching staff.
Which now I'll get to the part that might be the better part of the team, and they've given up points, but that's the UCLA defense. So Addison ran back a touchdown, 96 yards on a pick last week, the former Oregon player. Have they been better on defense, and if so, where?
Yeah, you know, I think the linebackers are the strength of this team. You know, they've because of their lack of a pass rush, they've had to move a couple guys to edge rusher. Olufemi Oladejo is one of them. Came to Toronto, sometimes spend some time up there. But, you know, secondary and defensive line, they've got one tremendous defensive lineman in Jay Toya. He's been pretty much neutralized, though. Teams are smart. They've you know, sent 2 and sometimes 3 guys up to stop him and, you know, taking their chances elsewhere, and it's worked out. So, you know, the defense has been – it's a below-average defense, but the offense has been just so bad that they actually – have looked good by comparison.
What is UCLA's travel plan for this game? Do you know?
Yeah, they're going to leave first thing Friday. And I believe if they keep up with their tradition that they've done on the road so far, they will make a trip to the stadium that sometime that day to kind of get players used to it. And they did that in Hawaii. They did that at LSU. You know, obviously they've had probably their best half of the season was the first half against LSU. So, you know, they were hoping to build on that, but Oregon pretty much flattened them last week at home. So, you could make a case that they've actually played better on the road than they have at home.
Yeah, because it's interesting because Penn State, when they go to USC next week, is going to leave on a Thursday. That's the reason why I asked. I just didn't know with the length of travel across country what the plan might be, considering it's the first time. We know that there's the $104 million hole financially, and that's a driver in all this. And I know they have to give part of it to Cal along the way in the agreement. What's the sense that you're getting from UCLA? Is the Big Ten enough to pull them out of the hole where they can keep scholarships stable for all the sports across the board, or do they still have to make moves?
I think it's multifaceted. I don't think they can just see this as a cure-all for their financial hole. I think that they have to win at a high level and fill the Rose Bowl again. Now, it is interesting that the crowds have been up this year, and I wrote about this, that big traditional Big Ten teams are actually excited to come to the Rose Bowl and you know, come to a place that a lot of them have not been in many, many years, particularly the Indianas and Minnesotas of the Big Ten. Now, Penn State might be a little bit different because they came for the Rose Bowl on January 1st, you know, several times. But, you know, they're going to get a bump from that. But bottom line is they need to win big in football. It's the revenue driver for every major athletic department. UCLA is no different. And, you know, with that money they're paying to Cal and, you know, on top of the $10-plus million extra they committed in travel resources and mental health and tutoring and all that kind of thing, they need some more streams of revenue, and winning in football is the number one thing that can help.
Yeah, no question. And it's interesting you mentioned Indiana. Don Fisher has broadcast Indiana as his 52nd season. And I texted him the morning of the game, and I said, Don, I'm thrilled that you finally get to do a game in the Rose Bowl. Because in 52 years, he hadn't had a chance to do it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. So you're right. And there are people that just haven't had a chance to be there, and I don't care if it's a regular season game or not. It's still something.
Yeah, it's exciting for a lot of people. You know, I'm actually a Northwestern alum, so, you know, I was there in 96 when Northwestern went, and it was, felt like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of trip, right? So, you know, I know Minnesota is coming next week. They're planning to have at least 10,000-plus. Iowa will probably, you know, maybe exceed that. So it's gonna be a draw, at least for these first few years, for these Big Ten teams that you know, really have just been able to watch on TV for so many years and now are excited to actually experience it.
What's your read so far, four games in, on Deshaun Foster as a head coach since it's the first time through?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, it's been a very rocky start. I think you know, people hailed the staff he hired as having 47 years of combined NFL experience, but you know, I don't think they've played to the scheme matched it with college players. I think it's been very complex on the offensive line. They've added a lot of weight, which actually I think has been a detriment because they've looked kind of slow and athletic against some of these edge rushers. So you know, he kind of wanted to take on the CEO role as somebody making the transition from position coach to head coach. Brought in Eric Bieniemy, who has a lot of experience. Promoted Kaika Malloy. He actually already was, I believe, promoted before he came, but he's been the DC and he's done a decent job there. But they really got to get these guys playing to their strengths and maximize the talent they have, because to me, they have enough talent to contend for a bowl game, and right now we're just not seeing that.
Well, Southern California certainly has a lot of great high school talent. What has kept UCLA from tapping into that consistently? And part of that is that Chip Kelly's lack of desire recruiting. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't put in the effort. I mean, bottom line, he rallied in the transfer portal, and you know, where you don't have to put in nearly as much effort. You make a couple of phone calls once the portal opens up, and it's not, you know, sending texts every week and going out to a bunch of high school games, which Chip Kelly really did not want to do or didn't do. So, you know, but the problem for Coach Kelly was that once NIL became more of an entrenched part of recruiting, UCLA was not keeping up in that aspect, so they could not bring in, you know, I think if this was to do over again, they would not have been able to bring in a Zach Charbonnet or, you know, the Murphy twins, Gabriel and Grayson. I think those types of players, if this was today and NIL is where it is, they would not have gone to UCLA. So I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall for the way he operated was not a path forward even to getting to the 8-9 win types of seasons he had.
Any quick thoughts on Penn State based on what you know?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Any quick thoughts on Penn State based on what you know?
Well, I'm disappointed it's not a whiteout game, correct?
It is not. It is going to be a stripeout game.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Alternating blue and white all through the stands. Yep.
All right, can't wait to see it. You know, I mentioned I did go to Northwestern. I have not. Penn State's one of the stadiums that I've not checked off the list, so I'm very excited to be there. I know that you know, Kaika Malloy, the defensive coordinator at UCLA, said this is the type of game that we have to show we can compete in as part of this move to the conference. So I think, you know, that's obvious, but by him saying it, it's like, well, now let's see what the team does, because they've stated it publicly, coming into a tough environment against a very physical team. Let's see what they can do.
And one last question, very physical team. Has that been a primary problem for UCLA's offense, the play up front?
Well, you know, I mentioned they put on a lot of weight, so it's kind of one of those things where you can say they're physical and that I think they're kind of big and strong, but they're just not, it's not good weight in that they're not, you know, able to pull and do the kinds of dynamic type things you need as an offensive line against some of these teams that are in better shape defensively. So you know, it's kind of a hard question to answer because yes, they are physical, but I don't think in the right way.
Absolute pleasure. Can't wait to have you here on Saturday. Looking forward to it very much.
I am as well. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. Well, that gives you a read on UCLA with one of the best in the business. Ben Bolch, joining us on the show today. We'll take a break. Wheels next half hour. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. Again, it's not as if UCLA doesn't have talent. They have talent. I mean, you look at, I mean, they have some athletes.
Could have fooled me.
but they haven't been able to put it together.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a big part of this. And if Garbers doesn't go, I mean, Martin's only thrown 5 passes in 3 years. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from him. I mean, I'm watching a little bit of the end of the Oregon game just to see what he did, and I thought maybe he'd run more. Nope. So I don't know. That is... that's a problem. And I know that the offensive line has been upset that they haven't been able to protect Garbers better. I know he's not big on Garbers, but Garbers gives them their best chance of winning. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of things about him when I watch him I like.
He was the guy that was quarterback for them at the end of the year last year, right?
Yes, he was.
Hey, he didn't seem to be all that bad.
I believe he was the MVP of the bowl game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's... Penn State can't worry about their problems. They're just going to go out, going to jump on this team, get to the front, and then play.
That's what I say. It feels like they might not be as bad as Kent State, but it kind of feels like the Kent State game. Just don't let them think they have a shot.
We don't ever let them think they have an opportunity. And they're going to make this. I'm a little surprised. Okay, maybe not so much because flying from the West Coast to here is maybe an hour and 15 minutes shorter because of the wind. So, like, flying, and they'll fly directly into here. And so if they, I don't know, pick a time. If they leave Pacific time at, 8 in the morning? Like 11 in the morning Eastern time? They could probably land here maybe 3:30, 3:45 at the latest. Get on the bus, go to the stadium, and, you know, just do a walkthrough in the stadium, which they'll be allowed to do. And then go from there. Yeah. Now, Penn State's leaving on Thursday, but remember, the trip is longer going out there because of the wind.
Well, you think you'd want to be in here Thursday just because they're playing at noon and kind of get used to give yourself a little bit of time to get used to the Eastern time zone.
You know what? But I'm not $104 million in debt.
Well, good point.
I mean that's... And again, they're getting a full share, but they have to give $10 million of it to Cal. And they've committed another, I don't know, $8 million, as Ben pointed out, to health, wellness, study hall, things like that. You know, not just for football, for every sport. So, you know, you're getting the full share, but you're splitting it up. And that's another big problem for them. The Cal thing bugs me. That makes no sense. I mean, I would have to live there to understand it. I mean, I'd have to live there to understand it as to why they have to give Cal $10 million.
I'm sure it's a state university thing.
No, I know it is. I know it is. But there's also, they aren't the only, I mean, Cal and UCLA aren't the only ones that are joined in this California state system. I think there are 10, 11 schools in it. Well, how come the other schools aren't getting money?
I'm guessing because Cal is specifically screwed by UCLA, I guess would be the...
Because they don't, you know, that's the football thing. That's the football thing. And, yeah. Wow. By the way, the Ford Frick Award finalists for 2025, Skip Carey, Rene Cardenas, Gary Cohen, Jacques Doucette, Tom Hamilton, Ernie Johnson Sr., Mike Kruko, Dwayne Kuiper, John Sterling, and my good friend Dave Sims. In fact, Tom Hamilton, good friend too.
Kruko and Kuiper have to go in together.
You'd hope. You'd hope. Guy that I think should be there is Chris Wheeler. He joins us next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is a great time to be looking for a change in the workplace. Anthracite Industries Incorporated, the division of Asbury Carbons, a world leader in the carbon industry, is hiring. They have labor and operator positions open on first and second shifts, and they offer a great benefits package, company advancement, and employee development programs. Visit them at 610 Anthracite Road in Sunbury, or call 570-286-2176 for applications and interviews. Equal opportunity employer.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is now in South Carolina to see the damage firsthand from Hurricane Helene, which hit last week.
We're going down to see what the damage done. I'm going to be going back again to other states.
He'll later head to North Carolina and tomorrow to Georgia and Florida. The death toll now is 175 people. Israel's prime minister is vowing to retaliate after Iran launched its largest missile attack on his country. Israeli UN Ambassador Danny Danon paints the nearly year-long conflict this way.
Behind every murder, every rocket launch, every plot stands the Iranian regime.
Despite growing tensions in the Middle East, oil prices are yet to spike skyward. But, says oil analyst Phil Flynn,
we're going to start pricing in the possibility that this conflict could have a major impact on the global economy and the price of oil.
Iran produces around 3 million barrels of oil daily. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
MechTech Incorporated is a family-owned professional engineering and land surveying company located right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley. Property subdivision and land development design are second nature to us. For three generations, we have been completing assignments for clients who trust our work. Think you might need our services? Give us a call. I'm Art Thomas, president of MechTech, and you have my word that you'll be happy working with us. MechTech Incorporated, building on a solid foundation.
In today's digital world, you can't afford to be lagging behind on all the latest details. Hi, Kim Komando here. Join me for the Kim Komando Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and you'll be in the know about everything digital. I'm here every Saturday from 10 till 1. It's just me, you, and the newest digital details every weekend. Be part of the largest nationally syndicated weekend show, the Kim Komando Show, Saturdays from 10 till 1, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Nurses, accountants, waiters, and welders, anyone can be injured on the job, unable to function properly. It affects your work and everyday life. Coach soccer, carry groceries, carry your child. No one has helped more people heal from work injury and rebuild their lives than the Workplace Injury Institute at Shamokin Dam Health Center. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Buying or selling a home is a big deal, literally. It's one of the largest financial transactions you're likely to make. So work with someone who will work with your best interest in mind. Someone who agrees to operate with transparency, honesty, and fairness every step of the way. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and are bound by a strict code of ethics that requires they put your interests above their own. Because that's who we are. Make sure your agent is a Realtor.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite news podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy with podcasts like The Daily, Up First, and Five Things Uninterrupted at Amazon.com/ad-free. Just head to Amazon.com/ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, always get ready for your tailgate by going to Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Throws their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You know, they announced the Ford Frick Award finalists. As far as I'm concerned, he should have been one of them, but that's just a personal opinion because I consider him such a close friend. Wheels, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. My ship has sailed for that award, but I have a lot of good friends that have won it and more that are eligible from what I see this year, so that's terrific.
I know, but I'm a firm believer that you should be in. That's me. That's
well,
me.
Thank you. I enjoyed your intro about Penn State sports and more, so I guess the more.
you're always the more. All right. Pete Rose passed away this week.
Yeah.
Okay, bring us back to when he signed the four-year deal with the Phillies and what it meant to the franchise at that moment, considering the franchise's history to that point.
Well, it meant a lot because, you know, we've been through the playoffs and losing in 76, 78, 76, 77, 78 when you only, quote-unquote, only had to win three games and you went to the World Series. So now all of a sudden they pull off this move to bring Pete in for the 79 season. he was still a really, really good player at that time. And, you know, there was that the jockeying for who was going to sign him. You know, the Cardinals were going to give him a brewery, a distributorship, and Pirates were going to give him racehorses and all that stuff. But he always said that he had friends with the Phillies, and the day that he was going to sign, he said, I'm signing with a National League team where I have some good friends. And I'll never forget my phone ringing that morning. And the guy who always had more information before it happened, Larry Bowa, is on there saying, we got him. We got him. He means us because I'm one of his friends. So, and as usual, Bowa was right. So, you know, it was no guarantee the Phillies were going to win with him there. But it sure made things a lot better, and it brought in that veteran presence. And, you know, you talk about the missing, quote-unquote, missing piece to a puzzle. I don't have any doubt in my mind that Pete was that guy that came in because he told Mike Schmidt he was the best player in the league, and Schmidt kind of looked at him like, you kidding me? You know, you just came from Bench and Perez and Morgan and those guys. So he turned Mike Schmidt around too mentally and helped Mike Schmidt become the greatest third baseman of all time. And, of course, Phillies won a World Series in 1980 with him.
On an everyday basis, you know, you go through a long season. Wheels, what was it like to sit down and just talk baseball with him and the insights that he could give you on baseball? Because he has such a great mind.
He did. He did. And you know what, Steve? I always said, if you had a chance to spend, and you did, to spend years and years with one of the top people in the history of your business, let's say, in our case, sports, you had Joe Paterno, and I had Pete Rose for 5 years. Yeah. And it was like a PhD in the game because he would talk to you. He would get on the bus and sit beside you. He'd sit beside me sometimes, and he'd go, Wheels, in the fifth inning with two outs and nothing. What do you think? I think, what do I think? What do you think? But he would do that. You know, he would ask your opinion on things, and then you could talk to him about anything at any time. I never saw him get condescending with even a reporter who might ask him a dumb question. He might give him that look of his with those bird-like eyes that he had. But he was very gracious with the media and with us and people that he trusted around the club like us. Boy, he'd tell you everything, and you could learn so much from him. And I told him that later on when we would, you know, would get together and talk about how grateful I was for those 5 years.
It's interesting because you mentioned with Joe. Joe would bring up a topic, and he'd talk to me about the topic, and then he'd want my opinion on the topic. And then we'd go back and forth. You want to know why we'd go back and forth? He wanted to see how committed I was. See, what was my commitment to my opinion? Right? And
interesting.
We always had like those kind of fun little mini talks along the way.
Yeah.
I still ask questions today of people I interview based on the things I learned from him.
Wow.
That tells you everything about what the Joe experience was like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, like I had an experience with him when I was 21 years old for one football season at the student radio station, and it was something I'll never forget. But to have the – look, when you do a pregame show with somebody or do a radio show with somebody the way you do, they trust you. And they'll tell you a lot of stuff, as you know. They'll tell you a lot of stuff off the air that they know you won't use, but it'll always lead you in the right direction. And Pete was that kind of guy. You know, he would give you that kind of stuff. You know, if he thought he could hit some guy, you know, the guy had nothing, you know, he would tell you. And, you know, you would look forward to seeing how he would face him that night and things like that. But those kind of guys, when they trust you, boy, you can learn so much. And I know Joe trusted you a lot, and Pete trusted us.
Yeah. So when it comes to Philadelphia, we know that he grew up in Cincinnati. That's his town. I got it. But what made him love his time in Philadelphia? Because obviously he did.
Well, he wanted to win. You know, that's what it was. You know, hey, look, Pete was one of those guys that no matter where he went, the team booed him till they got him. And that's what happened when he came to Philadelphia. Once he came to Philadelphia, all those boos became cheers. But I think one of the reasons that I know the main reason he liked playing in Philadelphia was because the fans were baseball fans. They knew the game. They were passionate about it the way he was passionate about everything about the game, and they wanted to win. And those were the qualities that Pete had as an athlete, as a baseball player. He loved being in Philadelphia. He used to laugh about, you know, how they used to boo him and yell at him and throw stuff at him and say this and that about him, and now they love me. But he said he knew that would happen as soon as he came to the Phillies. Now, did he know that we were going to win? No. But did he think we would? Absolutely. You know, he said, I didn't come here to lose. Said, I got two World Series rings, two championships. I won another one. And this team, you know, basically that he was surrounded by at that time, had come so close, as we said. He knew that this team could win, but it just was going to take a lot of dedication by a lot of people. And he really kept them focused.
Now, we know how this all ended up and played out. In retrospect, is there any compromise you could have seen that at least would have allowed Pete Rose to get on the ballot? That way, like Bonds got on the ballot, Clemens got on the ballot, and the voters then decided yay or nay. Did you see any compromise along the way based on what you know about the rules of baseball and how it works?
No, I really didn't. And I knew that the people that run the sport were hardcore about it. And I think more than anything, you know, you and I have talked about this. I was told when I was 25 years old, my first day there, to read the board in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. and it says, "If you bet on baseball, you're banned. You're banned from the game." Yeah. But not only did that happen with him, Steve, but he wouldn't come clean. He just kept lying about it and lying about it. And then by the time he finally came clean, it was always with qualifiers. And so I think he was his own worst enemy as far as that goes. And now people say, well, look at all the gambling sites and sports now. I said, I know, I understand what you're saying. But the temperament of the time from Major League Baseball was no. If they didn't say this, but I've always believed that if he'd have come clean, there'd have been a period of 10 years.
Yes,
or,
I agree.
Who knows, whatever.
Yeah.
And he'd been on the ballot.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, Mike Schmidt went to bat with him, with Bud Selig.
Yeah. Right?
Went to bat with Bud Selig, along with Joe Morgan. So
yep.
Selig met with him. And what, you know, and after he laid out, hey, look, no more association with casinos, no more association. What's the first thing Pete did? He went to a sports
right.
book that night.
Exactly.
Because he had a promotional
exactly.
thing. He wanted to make the money.
Steve, as I told you, I was really close with him. I don't like the name. And,
right.
But I was really close with him. And
yeah.
you know, we were great after he left. And he's in town managing. And I'm sitting in his office because Bruce Ruffin had pitched a game that night. It was a rookie, and I thought he had pitched pretty well. And I want to go down and talk to Pete about some things. And I asked him about Ruffin. He said, "I didn't see much there. You know, I don't think he's got that much stuff." So, and then he looked at me, and he can't make this up. He looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "Wheels, I didn't bet on baseball." And I'm going, "Pete, I didn't ask you." But he felt, for whatever reason, he had to say that, and that was when he was in his period of lying, even the people that he knew him and cared about him. Did I know he had done anything like that? Heck no. I didn't know any of that sort of stuff. I know he loved action. I know he loved to bet on the dogs, greyhounds in St. Petersburg in spring training, he always would ask about. He used to talk to me about Penn State football. He knew college football inside and out.
I know
he'd
he
ask
did.
Me, "How do you like? Who do you like this week with Penn State?" You know, I go, "Oh, Pete, you know, I don't like to do that stuff because I don't want to get into point spread. Come on, who do you like?" So that's what he was, Steve. He just liked action.
And again, we know what the laws are today. 30-something states now have sports book, Pennsylvania being one of them. In my broadcasting class, I said, "Look, I ask everybody who's made bets. Oh, not all, but most hands go up."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, let me give you a piece of advice. Never bet on a game that you are covering." I said, because it's going to jade how you cover the game. And that's the advice I give them. If you're standing there, I mean, what would you tell them? Same thing or not?
That's great advice. You know, I've never thought of that. You know, not being someone who's ever taught that. My only feelings about it on a personal level is I'm so glad I don't have to be on the telecast reading those odds.
Oh, I know.
As
yes.
they go on during. When Tom has to do that, McCarthy, I go, "Oh, God, I'm so happy I'm not there and have to do that." And I'm not trying to be, you know, Father
right.
Flanagan here right now about everything, but it just turns me off. I don't get it. Oh, I do get it. I understand it. You know, they need the revenues are there for the sports and all that. But I just worry you're creating a class of kids that are gamblers and that aren't really fans, that they're just betting on moments, and they're not going to be lifetime fans. And I think it's changed sports in a way that people are nastier now because they lost some money on somebody.
You are so right about that. Something I pointed out when this first came out 5 years ago. I said, you're going to get people getting angrier about results. I said, even when their team wins, because it's personal when you have money on it. And I'm, I'll give you an example last week. People are asking me in the parking lot, do you think they can cover the 19.5? And I said to them, I looked at them and said, I don't care if they win by one. I said, I just want to win and get the heck out of here. So I like, see, I don't care about that stuff. And you're the same way.
Well, you can make light of it too, yeah. Because I, you know, when what was it, the two games ago when the score was getting so high, whatever it was, and you said, well, there's some people really interested in this.
I did say
whether
that
these points count or not, or, and I laughed out loud because, you know, obviously I knew what you meant. that just made me laugh because, yeah. Well, typical you and Jack, you're all over everything.
Oh, God. Yeah, I looked over. Jack's got this smirk on his face. There's some people who said whether he knocks this one in or not. So, all right, so look, I'm not going to bring you on here to do this. Okay? Wheels and I always, okay, now here's your chance. Okay? I'm going to let you ask a couple. Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I got to tell you, the one thing I really worry about now is all these injuries that are early on, and you know, losing a couple kids that they basically kicked them out of the program and all that on defense before the season and all that. You've always talked to me about the depth that they've been putting together the last few years. Mm-hmm. I know it's early, but is there still enough depth there to deal with all this stuff?
Yeah, there is, and let's start with this. The staff is very high in Dwan Lane, which helps. Mm. Now, how he's integrated so they give him enough playing time to gain more confidence, that's going to be the key. When you look at the offensive line against Illinois, Wormley got poked in the eye, okay, had to leave. Nelson got poked in the eye. Had to leave.
Yeah.
I'm no expert. It just seems like hands to the face to me, but I'm no expert.
Yeah. really.
Now, are they going to be fine? Yes. But last week, Ioane moves over to right guard. They bring Cooper Cousins in the game. And Nolan Rucci, who had never practiced at guard, played a few plays at guard in the game and did well enough. That's, you know, when you're practicing in such a way where you're giving guys multiple positions to work at, it gives you the best opportunity to still put the best five available guys on the field and not just have a two ascend to a one when you may have a better option because you practiced it that way. And they've done that. That's why they have the depth they have.
Yeah, and just watching, it's been a while. You know, you watch Penn State offensive line dominate the line of scrimmage the way they've been doing it. You know, going forward, that's something I'm really. You mentioned Ioane. Is he the offensive lineman that they put in motion?
Yes, he's the offensive lineman they put in motion. And then he got invaluable experience because he's practiced at center in practice. But against Kent State, he did several series of playing at center. And again, what's the idea behind that? Say something were to happen to Dawkins. I still want my five best available guys out there. He'd be one of them, and he can play that spot. And that really helped.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, you know what I really, there's so many things about that game Saturday that I like, but I know you and Jack had to enjoy when Singleton smoked that linebacker and then went out and caught the pass and then knocked a corner or safety over.
Okay, it's funny because you watch Dawkins, Donko. Watch Donko on that play. Singleton gets this guy in the air. Ooh. And you look at Donko. Donko's like looking up like, yeah, there he goes. And then he gets out and he catches the pass and he blows through two other guys. Ooh. You're talking about 227 pounds, Wheels. 227. Yeah. And he's just cut, and he's a thick-bodied kid where he doesn't look 227. He looks like he's 205. And he's just, he's just a fabulous player.
Yeah, with that speed of his, I mean, you expect him to be more of a scat back, and that Allen is the guy that's going to be knocking people over. Oh. Fat Man's going to be knocking people over, but they can both really get positive yardage. That's what I love watching.
Well, Fat Man like invites contact.
he's got guys cutting away from people.
He looks like the guy that he cuts toward him.
Well, it that game was really fun. I'm not going to be one of those ones to look ahead, but the USC thing should really be a challenge, don't you think, with the travel and all the other things involved in playing a game like that?
Yeah, they're leaving Thursday, so they're not going to, you know, so UCLA, for example, not making the trip until Friday. But Penn State's going out there, but it's also a long, as you know, I'm not telling you, I'm talking to a guy that's flown a billion miles here. I mean, it's about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes longer going west. So they're going to go out Thursday, and then they're going to work out Friday, and then play Saturday, and that's how they're going to do it. And USC, you know, Moss is a good quarterback. Branch is great on returns and as a wide receiver. In fact, they've got it with Hudson and Lane. They've really got some terrific players in their pass game. The running game with Marks is very good. The area where they are better is they are a better defensive team this year than they were the last 2 years. Now, are they great defensively? No, but they're better. And there's no question about that they're a better defensive team than they have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, like last year, it seemed like anybody that played USC was a track meet. It's just how many points were you going to throw up? I mean, they'd throw them up, too. But they didn't seem to be playing. I've watched them a couple times, and look, they should have great athletes out there. Just be out from the area where they can recruit and with their NIL money, and because they're USC.
Really. Right, I agree, and that was always baffling for them, because this is how they masked statistically defensive problems. Remember, a couple of years ago, they led the nation in takeaways. Yeah. A lot of those takeaways happened after somebody drove the ball 60 yards, right? And so he's like, oh, they're playing great defense. They're not. You'd watch the game, and they're giving up chunks and chunks and chunks. And they were playing Washington last year, and Penn State played Maryland that night. And Jack and I were driving back together, and we're listening to the USC broadcast. And, of course, Washington had a great team last year. And Peter Orbegast is doing the game. He says, they give it to Robinson. There he goes again. It's another long one. There he goes again. It's another long one. There he goes again. And the two of us are laughing in the car because he's just not hiding his disdain.
That's pretty bad. Hey, look, I've been through that in our sport. When you know the guy who's starting that night isn't going to get out of the second.
You
can see it coming. You just know. It's one of those things. So what are you going to do? You got to describe it, but it's like, well, this is really a shocker that this guy can't get anybody out with that stuff he's got tonight.
to quote the movie series Mission Impossible, hope is not a strategy.
Hey, do they have to? You guys have to go down to Harrisburg to fly out. Is that what I've been reading?
Yeah. That's how they'll have to do it because they're going to take a 777 out. They can't get a 777 in here.
Yeah.
That's how to do it. And look, 777s have beds and things like that, so that really helps, especially the post game coming back.
Yeah, I know. I when I went to Europe this year, we took one of those, and they are great. I mean, there's a lot of great accommodations on that. But yeah, there's no way that you could just take a normal size, even a stretch of some kind, out there. You had to get the big plane. So I thought I'd read that they had to do that. You'll be all right though. You'll be able to land at LAX. They can handle it.
Oh yeah, they can handle that. That's no problem. I'm gonna be interested to see how we do the basketball thing. You know, may have to stop twice.
Oh yeah. Oh right. Well, but you know, you and I talked about this that when this happened, when they added these teams, you know, it's kind of cool and all that that they're in, but it presents some immense problems, I would think, for travel, and that'll be the first time Penn State's going to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, first time through it, but you know what? Hey, at least we're not going by train. We're not driving out. So you know what? I always tell everybody. I just go where they tell me to go. After that, I'm good.
We used to fly an airline when we first started our charters. It was great. It's called Ozark. It was out of St. Louis.
Oh, I remember them.
Remember, they had a lot of DC-9s. They were smaller airplanes, but they were great. Meals and all, we all loved them. I mean, who cared? Because we were flying charters now. But when we were going west, we had to stop. We had to do a fuel stop because, you know, obviously you're going into the headwinds when you're headed west, so we would have to stop. But, they'll put more. For the players, I'll put more food and booze on the plane. They'll be all
right. You are the best.
Well, let me put it this way. Some of the broadcasters.
Some, and I know which ones. All right. So. You are the best. We will talk soon, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. I always enjoy it. It's great catching up with you. And I love listening to you guys do the games.
Hey, by the way, is the place in Clearwater okay?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'm up on a bluff. I'm up real high.
Okay, good.
So, you know, if the water gets up there, we got to get an arc. You know, we're all right up there. But the beach area is, unfortunately, got smoked. And there's a lot of damage over there, and it's very sad.
That kickoff in the Outback Bowl by Stout. Did you get the ball signed? No, I'm just kidding. No.
I did laugh when you said that landed in my yard.
I had to do it.
He had a thunderfoot, there's no doubt about it.
Hey, you're the best, my man.
Thanks, buddy. All right.
You too.
Anytime. Love talking with you.
Same here. He's the best. That is Chris Wheeler. Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.